forward and get ready.
On the court's calendar this morning is Met Council versus Ziegler et al. We're ready for oral arguments. Would counsel for appellant please approach the podium and introduce yourself for the record before beginning arguments?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel, Thomas Radio of the Fellhaber Larson firm in Minneapolis for the appellant, St. Stephen Evangelical Lutheran Church.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, we're here today on an appeal arising from an eminent domain matter involving property condemned by the Metropolitan Council. They condemned two temporary easements on the property owned by the church for purposes of repairing their regional interceptor that's being used for the treatment of wastewater. This case arose out of that condemnation. There was a commissioner's hearing following an offer that was rejected by the church. The commissioners awarded approximately $102,000 for the award. That was more than 242% more than the last written offer. That means, according to Minnesota Chapter 117.031, St. Stephen is entitled to an award of attorney's fees. And that's what we're here today about. That's the only appeal issue that was raised on appeal. Following the commissioner's award, the church made a petition for recovery of attorney's fees. The district court denied that petition, and we filed our appropriate appeal here. The issue is whether the Metropolitan Council is a public service corporation and exempt from the attorney fee shifting provision of 117.031.
Do you agree, Mr. Radio, that the public service corporation statute that we're referring to here, 117.189(a), is unambiguous?
I would agree, Your Honor, that public service corporation is an unambiguous term.
Well, I'm talking about that statute because it seems to me the issue is we're being required to interpret that statute. That's going to be a de novo review here. If the statute is unambiguous, then I think this court is limited in terms of what we can consider in terms of the arguments here. So I want to understand from your position, and I thought that's what I understand your briefing to be, was that that statute is unambiguous.
It is our position that that particular statute, 117.189, is unambiguous, and that it excludes and does not include the Metropolitan Council as an organization that is exempt from the attorney fee provisions. The definition of public service corporation is found then in 025 of 117, subdivision 10. Mm-hmm. And therefore, and it basically starts with a definition of categories. What is particularly important and I think conclusive is the Metropolitan Council is not included or listed either as by name or by function.
Are there any entities specifically named in that definition?
There is not. So that is the first kind of defense that Metropolitan Council makes. There aren't other individual entities mentioned. However, Metropolitan Council is a particularly unique sui generis organization. It's not a city. It's not a county. It's not a township. So it's not a municipality in the traditional sense. It's not the state. It is a unelected representative, unelected appointed body for a regional body that supervises and plans for a variety of public services, including traffic, parks, and wastewater services.
By definition, though, it's a political subdivision, and it's a public corporation that's a political subdivision, isn't it?
That is correct, and that, right, quite frankly, is one of the key arguments that we think supports our position. In the definition, in the creation of the Metropolitan Council, it's listed as a public corporation, not a public service corporation.
Well, since we're arguing about the definition of a public service corporation in 117-189, why isn't it ambiguous when there is no definition given?
Because then you drop down into the definition section of 025, where it is defined. So it, you know, it says basically in 189, public service corporation. Then in the definition section, in that same chapter, in 025, subdivision 10, it defines public service corporation means a utility. And then it basically lists a variety of public entities or public service entities.
Because the definition's in another section in this chapter that makes it unambiguous.
Correct. And I want to make the point that this is somewhat different and should be different than interpretation of contracts. When we have a contract, is it clear on its face? If it is, we interpret the plain language of it. If it's ambiguous, then we take a look at it. And we can even use definitions arising in dictionaries. I would suggest to the court that particularly for statutory interpretation, that if your first default is to go to a dictionary, that is the wrong analysis, where the court is required or is asked to interpret the legislature's intent. That legislative intent is found in the statute, and it is first found in the statute at issue,
okay.
117.
So if we go down the list of, in subdivision 10, of what is included in a public service corporation, your argument is that when you apply that list, your client does not fit any of them. Is that your
argument? Well, not my client. My client is the church, the Metropolitan Council, yes.
Metropolitan Council does not fit any one of those.
And Metropolitan Council agrees that they don't fit in any one of those except for they try to fit themselves within a municipal utility or a municipality when operating as municipally owned utilities. But quite frankly, they are arguing municipal utility. The Metropolitan Council is neither municipal nor utility.
Well, it's a political subdivision that by statute owns and manages and operates the wastewater treatment facilities for the 7-county metropolitan area. That sure sounds like a municipal utility to me. Why is it not?
Except that it's defined as a public corporation, not as a municipality, and the utilities essentially stop at the city's edge. For most cities, they own their municipal wastewater services within their locales, and then they hook into the regional system.
But isn't a municipality also a political subdivision?
But that's kind of using a reverse order in terms of it starts off with it is a public corporation. That is the definition. You have to start with it, you know, in what the two district courts down below did. They started moving way far afield and looking at a lot of different unrelated statutes, and one of the canons of construction that we're asking the court to follow here is that when you look at and use terms for other statute, that they be related to the subject matter at hand. We're suggesting to this court that particularly the underlying intent of this attorney fee shifting statute is to shift the burden from the homeowner or from the property owner back to the state in terms of the negotiation for taking of property.
I know, but what about all the rest of these organizations that are public service corporations? They're in the same. I don't understand how it's different for these folks than for Metropolitan.
Because, well, for one of them, if you look at all the other ones, they tend to.
Why would the legislature want to list all these folks and have the impact of the shifting?
This provision of 031, the attorney fee shifting provision, along with a number of other reforms, were all adopted in 2006, really in a national reaction to the Kelo decision. And it was intended to address some of, I wouldn't go quite as far as calling abuses, but some of the inequities in the condemnation proceeding in terms of attorney fee shifting, in terms of requiring an appraisal before the taking of property. More often than not, the state, with in-house attorneys, basically, and their appraisers, has the advantage when approaching property owners. Simply, here's our order, here's our offer, take it or leave it. And well, by the way, your measure of recovery is just compensation, which is the fair market value. However, when you have to spend attorney's fees or appraisal fees, and here we spent, you know, $60,000 having to justify our position, and defend our position, what is just, that gets subtracted from just compensation, but for the attorney fee provision.
But that's true for a gas, electric, telephone, cable communications company, and all the rest of these folks as well, isn't it?
And here's the rest of the story on that. This was intended to address the big takers of property. It was really the anti-MnDOT law, which was a big consumer, a big taker of property, and they were known for making lowball offers. This was intended to address it. Now, the second party largest taker of property in the state, behind the state and MnDOT, is Metropolitan Council.
But they already have a carve-out, don't they, for like light rail and public transportation? The fee shifting doesn't, I mean, the exception doesn't apply to those types of projects.
Correct. And what happened was in 2017, the legislature basically heard that in the taking for the light rail projects, the Metropolitan Council was adopting that same practice, or actually adopting the argument that they were a public service corporation and they were exempt from the attorney fee provision, and particularly for the light rail projects. That created such a disturbance within the community that it got to the legislature. With wastewater, there's fewer takings, and there is probably less of an interest in doing that. And Met Council was able to limit that 2017 amendment solely to light rail because that's where most of the energy and the interest was. But they were making the same argument that they were a public service corporation in the light rail context prior to the adoption of that argument.
Well, the impact is that if you shift, the taxpayers of that municipality pick up the tab.
Exactly. That's the key, is that in taking of public property, which is one of the most drastic government functions and powers, there should be a answering to the elected officials. And if the elected officials, through their representatives, are taking property at lowball prices and really penalizing property owners because they can't afford or the attorney's fees or need to deduct it, that should be addressed. That burden, but the taxpayers, when they take somebody's property, should bear the true cost of that taking and of that just compensation. That's part of the compact when we give the government this broad power of eminent domain.
Does that concept not apply to Metropolitan?
Well, that's what makes the Metropolitan Council so unique. They are separate, and they have their own taxing authority, but they are unelected representatives. They, once again, are appointed by the governor. And they are particularly susceptible to being unresponsive.
That these folks who are listed here as being exempt are really municipalities where taxpayers pay the tab and they elect the folks to decide how to proceed, but you're saying there's good reason to treat Metropolitan differently, and the legislature did, because they are unelected and they've spread the taxes over a big, broad area. Is that what you're saying?
And they're much bigger in their scope. They're more like MnDOT. They're more like the state. There's no state agencies that are exempted from that. These are all smaller ones. You can think of a city-owned electric utility or gas.
MnDOT's not exempted here, right?
No. And so it's smaller city-owned utilities or cooperatives.
You would have been a lot better saying this is ambiguous and we ought to take a look at legislative history. What did the legislature intend? Do we have public hearings that describe why they put some folks in this category and some folks not?
Well, two things. I'm trying to be intellectually honest. And I think it is on its face, it's clear. But I still think you need to take a look at the legislative history behind this provision and look at the purposes behind it. Not so much for the definition, but look at what they were trying to achieve.
Don't do that unless it's ambiguous, though, do we? We say there's nothing to construe. You just look at the language. It's only when it's ambiguous that we look at all kinds of things, including legislative history. That's why I'm curious about why you
right.
come to the...
Well, I will argue in the alternative that, and we do in our brief, that if the court were to find it ambiguous, and if you don't accept our argument that it's clear, then it would be ambiguous, and I would then encourage you to, and I would welcome you to look at the legislative history, because then you're going to see the real purpose behind the 2006.
Have you provided any of that legislative history?
Pardon?
Have you provided us with any of that legislative history?
No, we have not.
So you're asking us to go digging around and searching what across the street?
Well,
that's normally not how we handle legislative history, but.
Two things. The church has limited resources to pay me and to provide that type of analysis. Second of all, should the court remand this matter or ask for supplemental briefing, we will do that research. Okay.
If you're finished, you'll have 5 minutes on rebuttal.
Very good. Thank you.
Your Honors, my name is Peter Hanf. I represent the respondent, Metropolitan Council. May it please the court.
Counsel, without asking you to concede that it might be ambiguous, can you give me some explanation as to why Metropolitan, why the legislature would have put your client into the category with other municipalities and leave out MnDOT and other big folks? What can you tell me about your thinking on that?
Yeah, Your Honor, it relates to the function or the nature of the service that is being provided. If you look at Minnesota Statute Section 117.025 Subdivision 10, this is listing in the first sentence, it's listing categories of entities, and the first sentence covers all utilities, both public and private. The list is broad, and it covers, like I said, most, if not all, utilities, including gas, electric, telephone, cable, and municipal utilities. Entities fit within the categories based on the nature of the service that is being provided. The council's collection and treatment of wastewater is a municipal utility for two reasons. Here's why. First, wastewater treatment is clearly a utility. It is a function that benefits society. It directly benefits the landowner in the same way that gas, electric, telephone, and cable all benefit the owner. And the owner is then charged for the service, which is no different here. It's a pass-through from the city. Second, the council's collection and treatment of wastewater is municipal. It is a service that is being provided by a public body that is statutorily required to provide this service to the residents of the region. It is a quintessential governmental function, and the plain meaning of the word municipal or municipality is something that is public or governmental. Plus,
it is different in one respect, though.
Okay.
That all these other municipalities, for the most part at least, appear to be elected officials who are going to decide what project to engage in and how to assess this back to the property owners. Metropolitan Council is not an elected position, and in that respect, you're more like the highway department where the public's input is not there.
It's certainly true that the council representatives are appointed by the governor, but that doesn't mean that they're not responsible to the taxpayers or the people of their district. So I think there's more of a similarity with the locals as opposed to the highway department, which, as far as I know, does not have members who directly are responsible to the residents that they serve.
So you think that's why the legislature carved it out in this way?
Well, I think the legislature carved it out this way based on the nature of the service that is being provided. And so if you look...
What does that make?
Well, I mean, if you look at the first sentence of the definition, it's all utilities. It's public, it's private, it includes municipal utilities.
And that's what I'm wondering, because I'm looking at the definition, and it says gas, electric, telephone, or cable communications company. The people at the cable company aren't elected and are not accountable to their
customers. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know that that helps the other side's argument that this is about taxing.
Well, maybe to the extent, though, that there's a contract that allows a cable company to come in, and they have a franchise fee, and those things get approved by the municipality. I don't know about telephone, but...
No, I think that's right. I think that's an excellent point, that most of the entities that are listed here
are not run by elected officials.
Exactly. Plus, I would point out, in the context of wastewater treatment, the council is specifically considered a municipality. That, in this context, is the common definition. If you look at the Minnesota Municipal Pollution Control Act, the Federal Clean Water Act, the PCA rules that implement it, all of these are taking a broad position on what a municipality is. And that specifically includes the council. And I think this is consistent with the broad categories that are listed under, broad categories of utilities listed under 117.025, but it's also consistent with how wastewater treatment is being provided in the region. The system is interconnected, and the local systems cannot function without the council's service. And in fact, most of the infrastructure that the council owns were once owned by the cities. In the 1970s, the legislature made a determination that wastewater service was going to be provided by a regional body in the 7-county metro area, for various reasons, I suppose. I don't know exactly, but I would assume it's related to efficiency, related to cost, related to reliability. And that's a policy decision that was made by the legislature. And so to hold that that only a city could be a municipal utility when operating its smaller portion of the integrated system, I don't think is supported by the common meaning of the phrase municipal utility. It's not supported by the broad net that the first sentence of 117.025 is casting to include all utilities. It's not consistent with how wastewater is provided in the region, and it's not consistent with the two lower court decisions. I think it would truly be an absurd result, especially since the council has jurisdiction over the entire system. Wastewater does not lose its municipal character when it flows from a city pipe to a regional interceptor.
Is there anything other than the Met Council's operation of the water treatment facility that brings it within this definition? I mean, were it not for that function, would the Met Council be exempt?
I think it relates more to function, the wastewater function. I guess I'd have to think about that a little bit more, but just as I stand here right now, I think it is that wastewater function that puts it within that category of a municipal utility. And the statute itself draws a distinction between a municipal utility and a municipality when operating its municipally owned utilities. Municipal utility, I argue, is a category that is broader because it covers utilities not owned by the city, but still providing a utility service to the residents of the city. And that's what we're talking about here. It is the Metropolitan Council is statutorily required to provide the service to the residents of the city, but it is still a utility service that is being provided.
So it looked like the legislature, regardless of whether it's a private ownership or public ownership, a municipality, or something else, as long as they're dealing in the area of utilities,
right?
That's what they carved out.
Right.
That's your argument.
That is basically my argument. The other thing I would point out with respect to whether or not, if you think it might be a little bit ambiguous whether the council is or isn't, is that the legislature has already recognized that the council operates as something other than a public corporation when it exercises its functions. In 2017, the legislature amended 117-189 to specifically exclude light rail transit and bus rapid transit projects. In doing so, it recognized that while the council is a public corporation, when it's exercising its transit function, it operates as a common carrier. And the same has to be true here for municipal utilities. When the council, even though it's organized as a public corporation, when it's exercising its wastewater function, it operates as a municipal utility. Now, the appellant has raised a number of policy arguments, but as the recent City of Brainerd Supreme Court case makes clear, that whatever the merits are of the competing policy arguments, when the language of the statute is clear and unambiguous, the courts don't consider public policy.
Or legislative history.
What's that?
Or legislative history.
Right, exactly. So, in closing, the council asks the court to affirm the district court's order denying appellant's motion for attorney's fees and costs because the common meaning of the term municipal utility includes the council when it's operating the Metropolitan Disposal System.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
May it please the court. I don't want to be clear that the appellant does not concede on the ambiguity argument that we waived that. We included it in our brief. Our first argument is that it's clear on its face, but if it's not clear on its face, then it's ambiguous. But we believe that in terms of being ambiguous, the appellant should still prevail. And we really look at the third rule of statutory construction that we offer to the court, and that's where omissions are intentional. They intentionally omitted any specific reference to wastewater treatment utility or the Metropolitan Council in our definitional section of 189 point subdivision 10. If they intended to include this unelected regional super body, they could have said so. Yet, Metropolitan Council tries to shoehorn itself within municipal utility and has to go far and wide throughout, even to legislation dealing with wastewater. That is so attenuated from the particular statute at hand that I would submit to the court that that approach should be rejected in terms of interpretation, even an ambiguous statute. There is a certain limit in terms of what you can go. And you certainly shouldn't start with a dictionary and then work back to the definition, which is what the two lower courts did and what they do in their brief.
But isn't the case law pretty clear that in determining whether or not a statute is ambiguous, you can look at dictionary definitions? In other words, if a statute uses commonly understood words, you can look at dictionary definitions to ascertain their plain meaning and then apply that meaning. So the use of the dictionary definition is sort of a common first step when someone raises a statutory issue.
I would suggest that it is not a commonly a first step, but more importantly, when you have a very detailed definition, which the definition is here, and when you have a very that is important to creating an exception, then it should not be the first choice. It could be part of the analysis, but it should not be the first choice, and only if the other analyses and other sources that you're looking at really fail. It shouldn't be kind of the first choice, because that's not, unless you can show that the legislature was using a dictionary.
Tell me why the definition is unambiguous in your view and supports your conclusion that the Met Council is not exempt.
First of all, the definition in subdivision 10 is unambiguous, because public service corporation means, and it lists all of those, it doesn't say Metropolitan Council. It also doesn't say a municipality or municipal wastewater service. This is quoted on the bottom page 9 in our brief. So you read through all of that, and on its face, it does not say Metropolitan Council, and it does not say any reference to wastewater services. Then
it says municipal utility. Is that phrase ambiguous?
Well, if you want to give it the extended statutory definition provided by Metropolitan Council, I would contend that it is ambiguous.
What's your definition of the phrase municipal utility?
That is a utility. Primarily, it's going to be electric or some other similar provision of services
if
done by
case,
a...
Why would they separately list electric if it wasn't, it didn't apply to something else?
Because particularly in the eminent domain field, many electrical organizations, NSP, XL, cooperatives, have the power of eminent domain.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you too. You didn't get a chance to answer Judge Larkin's question.
And going back to that particular question, municipal utility, it would be where a county subdivision, a county, township, or city, a traditional municipality, is running one of those utilities. So
but
if it,
the next phrase is municipality when operating its municipally owned utility. So doesn't that cover what you've just described?
I think those two phrases are redundant. I don't know the legislative intent behind there. So if we were trying to interpret between those two, but the Metropolitan Council basically says we're a municipal utility, not the second part of that. I would also just point in just
one word, though. You know, this definition is unique in that it describes public, private, and all kinds of combinations. But one word that kind of cuts through all of it is its utility. Doesn't what Metropolitan Council does, isn't that a utility?
I would argue that this is not, particularly the wastewater service, is not a utility in a traditional sense of that word.
What does utility mean?
Normally, that utility means, and when you start off, what's the first definition there? It's 216E01. That's provision of electrical services. What's the next one? Gas, electric, telephone, cable communications, cooperative association, which would be, once again, for electric, natural gas pipeline, crude oil, all of those. There's no reference to public or to wastewater services. I'd also point out that public service corporation means either, and this is in the second sentence, and this is where it may be, I think, clear on its face, where it excludes Metropolitan Council. But service corporation all means a municipality or public corporation when operating in an airport. If, in fact, there was that municipality means the same as public corporation, why repeat those two phrases in exactly the same sentence? So I would argue that the legislature here intended to have a public corporation not be included in the same context and as a public service corporation.
You're arguing then that utility is a narrowing concept?
Yes.
To include water and sewer and...
Particularly in the context of this definition. That's the where I would urge the court to, you know, in terms of statutory construction, have to be very narrow.
What about the last line, which references a public corporation operating a watershed district or a drainage authority? Are those closer to a wastewater system?
No. Both watershed and drainage are natural waters, the flow of natural waters. Wastewater is basically what's in our sewer pipes and coming from homes and businesses and then needs to be treated. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Matter is submitted. Thank you for your arguments and briefing.